The Israel Report with Rolien Marx.
Hey, 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 I'm so happy to be excited to say welcome back, Rolien.
Thank you. I've missed you guys. I tell you, it feels like a lifetime when I'm not doing the Israel Report, and I really miss it, but needed a couple of days off just to have a bit of a holiday, but back to business now.
Sadly, you start off this particular report with not the greatest of news.
I start the day off with horrendous news of yet another terror attack that has claimed the life of a 25-year-old male. So last night at the town of Chomish in the West Bank, terrorist gunmen opened fire, wounding two Israelis and killing Yehuda Dementman, 25 years old, father of a newborn baby. He was a yeshiva student, and this was just outside Chomish last night. At the moment, there is still a massive manhunt underway for the terrorists that murdered him and opened fire on two others. This has been condemned by the United States and, of course, the Israeli government and military establishment. We have heard from both Hamas and the Palestinian Liberation Organization, both praising this, both saying that this is standing up to the occupation. This is just an appalling way to start the day. Also, news breaking early this morning, an Israeli in his 20s shot dead in the Arab-Israeli city of Taibe. This is being reported by Israeli media. He was taken to Meir Medical Center in Kfar Sabra, in critical condition. Unfortunately, he died as a result of his wounds. Now, we don't know yet if this was criminal or terror-related. There is an investigation underway to determine what was the motive, but a horrible, horrible way to start the day with yet another terror attack claiming the life of a young man of 25. They were in a car, the car was moving, and unfortunately 25-year-old Yehuda Dementman succumbing to his wounds just moments later.
It's really upsetting that this uptick in terror attacks was predicted, but due to the complexities, it's so difficult to predict where and when, and each and every incident has such a profound effect on everybody, and the repercussions thereof are felt by all and sundry. So it's really just so disappointing that we're going through this period in our history where we're seeing this resurgence. It really, really is disappointing. But on the flip side, there's a bit of positive news regarding Ukraine diplomatic relations in respect of them now wanting to recognize Jerusalem as capital of Israel.
Well, this is quite extraordinary, and how this came about was quite a bit of a surprise. The ambassador to Israel from the Ukraine, his name is Yevgeny Kornichuk, was at an event yesterday, and he said that his country could recognize Jerusalem as Israel's one and only capital very, very soon, and will probably open a branch of its embassy in the city in the coming year. And this will be in to coincide with a visit by the president, Volodymyr Zelensky. So the ambassador went on to say that he believes that recognition is a matter of months and not years. And this is really, really important, because Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Israel regards an undivided Jerusalem as the eternal capital. We had the extraordinary and historic recognition by former President Trump just several days ago on the 6th of December. Of course, the moving of the American embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. We have had some countries say they recognize West Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But for Israel, the stance is pretty simple. We recognize an undivided Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And Jerusalem, of course, is very, very highly contested in discussions or debates or negotiations around a possible peace deal with the Palestinians. So having the Ukrainian president say this is massive. Of course, we also know that there's a little bit of politicking behind the scenes, Ukraine and Russia, relations between the two countries becoming more and more sour by the day. We've seen Russian troops amassed on the Ukrainian border. Something, Chad, you know, it's bizarre to me. It doesn't seem to bother anyone. No human rights activists or news pundits seem to be too concerned about that. But I guess no Israel is involved there, so, you know, who cares? But the ambassador speaking at an event yesterday to mark 30 years of Israel-Ukraine ties. And the way that he announced it was quite extraordinary. He was given by the Jerusalem Affairs Minister, Ze'ev Elkin, he was given a commemorative coin that's about nearly 3,000 years old, bearing the word Jerusalem in Hebrew. And his comments, the Ukrainian envoy's comments, came off the cuff. So nobody was quite prepared for that, but really, really extraordinary news, but with a caveat, of course, and that is that the Ukraine want more defense ties with the state of Israel, which, of course, will be quite interesting to see given the standoff between the Ukraine and Russia at the moment.
And Rolene, in closing, just tell us a little bit about your break. Did you do anything exciting or did you vegetate?
Okay, well, first, there's still a little bit more news to discuss. So before I get to that, before I get to news about my break, we'll have to discuss some of the other news. Let's talk about the situation with Omicron. The travel ban has unfortunately been extended till the 29th of December. And I know this is not the news that people were expecting to hear. Israel unfortunately has added another 7 countries to our red list, including France, Spain, the United Arab Emirates, putting the kibosh on many people wanting to go from Israel to the Emirates in the next couple of weeks. And basically all of Scandinavia. We've got Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark on the red list as well, and we're discussing whether or not to put the United States and Canada on to the red lists as well. So this is where we're holding at the moment. I know it's disappointing for many people who are wanting to come to Israel in the next couple of weeks. I know for many people Christmas is coming up. You perhaps wanted to come and celebrate Christmas here, but unfortunately the travel ban is still in place at least until the 29th of December. And then we also have some good news, news that Israel will be donating 1 million AstraZeneca vaccines to African countries. Now, we don't know which African countries they are, but we will be donating those vaccines. And as our foreign minister said, that we are very proud to be able to play a part in helping those countries that may not have vaccine equity in helping them to fight the COVID pandemic.
And the green pass, what's happening there? Is it going to be rolled out? Are they going to test it, or have they completely backtracked on it in respect to the shopping malls?
Well, here we also have to kind of criticize the government for making a premature announcement without figuring out how to enforce it. So the other day, the government announced that from today, you would need to present your green pass to get into the malls. Now, what they initially had decided was that anyone who had a green pass, which of course indicates that you've had your 2 vaccines and your booster, would be given a bracelet and be allowed access to that particular mall for the day. And those who are unvaccinated, and there are still some people unvaccinated, would not receive a bracelet and would only be allowed to enter pharmacies and grocery stores inside the malls. Of course, you can expect this was not met with smiles and rapturous applause. Government have scrapped that until they decide how on earth they are going to be able to enforce it.
And now, can we get to what happened on your break?
We can get to what happened on my break. I took a couple of days off. My husband is on a well-deserved leave until Sunday. So we gallivanted around the country, just enjoying the sights, the sounds of Tel Aviv, of other parts of the country, before the rain, before the cold sets in. Winter is here with a vengeance as of today. Very cold, very, very, very wet conditions, but a nice opportunity given that it's quite difficult to travel at the moment, and of course we don't have our foreign tourists coming in, to support our local eateries, to support our local sites, to take in parts of Tel Aviv that we don't often get to see, and just, you know, to show shop owners, small business owners who've really struggled as a result of a loss of tourism revenue, that, you know, kind of local is lekker, and we will support you as much as we can.
And tell me, with these recent attacks, are you seeing, while you're out there on the streets, an increase in security forces? And we know that obviously security is always at high alert in Israel, and specifically in places where there's tourists, etc. But with this uptick that we've been speaking about the last couple of weeks, is there an even greater presence of security forces?
Well, terror attacks for the moment have been confined to certain areas. Jerusalem, and of course we have police and security on high alert there. All of the crossings from the West Bank, Gaza into Israel are on extreme high alert following the recent uptick in terror attacks. And yesterday, the Shin Bet announcing that they had caught two Hamas agents, one from Gaza, one an Israeli Arab. The terrorist from Gaza, or the agent from Gaza, had a permit, a trade permit, to come in and out of Israel. But the Shin Bet, which is our internal security, caught them spying for Israel. They are alleged to have been spying on Iron Domes, trying to gather intelligence on how they operate, as well as being instructed by Hamas to photograph IDF soldiers at the Ashkelon Central Station. So we are now on a situation of alert in those types of areas. But in areas like Tel Aviv, Moody, in other areas where I live, it's pretty much business as usual. For the most part, it is restricted to certain areas.
We were chatting the other day to Anthony about this tanker that's needed, this aircraft tanker from the US, and it's in respect to the fact that the distance of Iran. Iran seems to continually be looming ominously in the background. I'm hoping come 2022 something happens to neutralize this, or to just then be some kind of intervention.
Well, the last couple of weeks, we've had various countries in Vienna trying to broker a nuclear treaty with Iran. Now, Israel has been warning for years that the Iranian nuclear program is not to do with looking at alternative sources of energy, but is military and vicious in its very, very nature. Its intention is to strike Israel, and Israel will just be the first country in its crosshairs. Now, on Wednesday, the front page of the Tehran Times, which is the mouthpiece for the Iranian regime, featured a map of Israel, including, I must add, sites in the West Bank and sites in Gaza that had targets on them. It was very interesting to see how the Palestinian Authority reacted to that, saying, wait a minute, by the way, you know you've got Ramallah in your line of sight. But they issued this with the heading that said one wrong move. Basically a warning to Israel that these are the targets, we've got you covered from north to the south should you make one wrong move. Now this is just the latest in Iranian saber rattling. We've heard from their highest military officials about their intentions to eradicate, in their words, the cancer Israel. Israel has been appealing to allies in the European Union. We've also had quite an historic meeting with the United Kingdom that co-authored op-ed with Foreign Secretary Liz Truss in the Telegraph. Our defense minister has been backwards and forwards to Washington over the last couple of months to talk about what kind of reaction Israel and possibly the United States will have should a treaty not be signed. We're not pinning our hopes on any nuclear treaty be signed. Israel has sent out the message quite firmly that if the need be, if it comes to it, we will defend ourselves. We will not rely on any other country. We've seen this backed up with a massive increase to our defense budget for the next year. And our Defense Minister Benny Gantz, along with the U.S. Defense Secretary, saying that, you know, we will be preparing for advanced military options.
Good to hear. 2022, let's see what happens in this year. I think next year is going to be interesting. Rolene, thank you. Chat to you on Monday. It is now time for the News Bulletin.